If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 57th chapter of Isaiah and with the 15th verse. For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic and gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in Seattle, Washington, in a pastor. You know, people say, why do you do that every time? Well, I want to identify myself with this wonderful Savior. There's a time in your place in your life when you either need to reject Christ or accept him. I accepted him 55 years ago. Didn't know that God loved an alcoholic, but he does. And he loves everyone listening to this broadcast tonight. Now, either you're going to say tonight, I will or I won't. I pray tonight that you will put your trust in Jesus. And if you're a Christian, I want you to be encouraged by what I've got to say tonight. Oh, how our country needs a revival. How our churches in America need revival. Well, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Reading to you from the Psalms, 85th Psalm, and with the 6th verse. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Speaking tonight on a subject that is very misunderstood in this day and age, and that word is revival. Rarely do you, I used to preach revivals all over the United States, Japan, and Alaska and wherever. And rarely today you'll ever see a sign in front of the church, revival. Why is that? Because we're not experiencing revival in our churches today. Is it a thing that's never going to happen? Not necessarily. You can have revival in your church if you do what God asks you to do. The word revival is used often, but often used wrongly. You know what? We have now what they call a series of meetings. Now, it used to be when I was preaching in full-time evangelism, I did most of my preaching, believe it or not, was in the South. And the Methodists would show up at the meetings. The Presbyterians would show up. We'd have a real mixture of people. And they'd come to revival. Not because I was a great preacher, absolutely not, but it was because I told them the truth about Jesus. Oh, friends, there's so many preachers today that are not preaching the gospel. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. But what is revival? Well, for one thing, revival is especially the business of Christians, not of the lost, but the Christians. It has to do with bringing back life. You know, some of our church, and you'll have to admit them, they're dead. Dead. All we do is meet and eat. We don't do anything for Jesus. Well, Walter Bolt, the great preacher, said, revival is God at work, restoring his church to health. That is an acceptable definition if we understand that a healthy church is a soul-winning church. Revival must result in reapings. We, and I know, and I've visited hundreds of churches over the years, and you can walk into a church and you can just about tell what's going on. Now, just because a church is friendly doesn't make them you having a revival. But I think it is good to be friendly. That's the one thing that drew me to the church that I first joined after I was saved, was they were so friendly to us. They knew I was a town drunk at one time, but now they treat me just like I'm a long-lost brother, and I was. Sure enough, I was a prodigal son. And it meant a lot to me to go in there and come up there and one of them hug my neck and say, "Brother Mo, we're so glad to see you today." That makes you feel good. Now, when you go to church and someone's missing in your church, someone's missing, and you don't understand it, but you criticize him. Why wasn't that guy here today? Well, I guess it was too cold, or I guess his arthritis was acting up. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to get on the phone, and you're supposed to call him, and you're supposed to tell him, "Hey, I miss you, brother. I missed you Sunday. We really did miss you." Oh, that makes a lot of difference, too. Because now with me, I was kind of a, I didn't want to be around people when I was an alcoholic. But after God saved me, I felt so good to go around people that talked about the Bible, people who prayed, and they'd tell you, "I'm praying for you, brother." Boy, that means something to me. But you know what? We're kind of guilty of this. Someone will walk up to you and say, "Hey, Jim, pray for me. I'm going through a tough time now." "Oh, yeah, okay, I will." And then you go home and you plumb forget to pray for that person. That's wrong. That's sinful. And you can get backslidden real easy if you just don't do what you tell people you could do. Well, revival can be the experience of the whole body of Christ, a local church, or of one Christian. One Christian can bring a revival to a church. I'm sure you've heard this story before. But years ago, D.L. Moody went over to England to preach. And these two spinster sisters, they lived together. And this sister came home from the meeting and said, that one was sick at home. She said, "Did you know who was preaching in our church today?" And this sister said, "No." She says, "D.L. Moody." "Oh, why didn't you tell me this?" She said, "If I'd have known, then I'd have been praying and praying." And so she went in her room, closed the door, and she spent the whole afternoon praying for D.L. Moody and for revival. That night, 1,200 people came to Jesus. You see, this woman was willing to pay the price for revival. She prayed. Friends, you know, this old stuff of going to prayer means that God send us a great revival, amen, and go home. That's not praying for revival. Praying for revival is when you agonize, when you know that your church is not on fire for Jesus and you're not seeing people saved. And don't you wonder why? Well, now, who do you blame? I'm not blaming anybody, but there's something stinky in your church if you go year by year and no people are getting saved. There's something wrong. You have not experienced revival, nor are you probably praying for revival. I'm not trying to get mad at you, but beloved, there is a fact. We can pray for revival, and it's so important. It is right to pray for revival. "Wilt thou not revive us again?" See, the psalmist is praying for revival. We just read that. "Will you revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" And you're not going to rejoice in your church. Pretty soon you're going to start getting bored with your church if you don't see people saved. You're going to get bored. See, what would a hospital be without a place where little babies are born? What would that be like? Not very good. Oh, and your church is full of baby Christians. You know, I'd rather be around a baby Christian sometimes than a mature Christian. Why? Because they're excited. They found something that changed their life. Friends, when I came home that morning from Tom Baird's place, my wife took a look at me and she said didn't want no part of me. She was going to leave me and take my children. But somehow, God's Holy Spirit convinced her that I was telling her the truth, that my life had been changed. In a twinkling of an eye, my life has changed. The minute I got on my knees and asked Jesus to forgive me and to come into my heart, I was born again immediately. My name was written in the Lamb Book of Life, and I was assured heaven. And boy, oh boy, was I happy. Oh, friends, I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I'd call my pastor sometime at 11 o'clock at night because I wanted to know what this meant. And I'd called my Sunday school teacher and deacons. I was excited. I lived in this book day and night. I did not know that someday he was going to change me, really change me, when he called me to preach. I've said before, and you've heard me say it many times, I sure didn't want to be a preacher. My stars in the morning. But it's probably the most, the most exciting life I've ever experienced. Oh, I was happy when I was just living for the Lord and just doing what I was supposed to do. But after he called me to preach, there was a different thing happened. Then I began to see lost people in a different light. Now, if we had to depend upon preachers to win people to Christ, we're going to be defeated. Because there's just not many soul-winning preachers in this world. I'm sorry. I know they have a hard job, and you'll never hear me say that evangelist work is harder than a pastor. Because a true pastor of God is going to teach his people to win souls. He's going to do it by example. He's going to tell stories about people he'd had the privilege of introducing to Christ to get you excited. There's nothing in this world more exciting than to kneel with a lost man or woman and introduce him to Christ. There's nothing that will touch your life. I know because I've done it for 54 years. I didn't the first year I was saved, but I was being trained by Reverend Tom Baird. He took me out and showed me how to introduce a soul to Christ. Has your pastor ever taken you out and shown you how to introduce a soul to Christ? If not, pray that he will. Pray that God will help him. Maybe he's discouraged. Maybe he's disheartened. But lift him up in your prayers. He needs to be encouraged. But prayer changes pastors too. Oh boy, I'll tell you right now, when I pastored, and I know people were praying for me, boy, I tell you, it'll give you a thrill. Well, anyway, Moody said that every great work of God can be traced to a kneeling prayer figure. All revivals begin in prayer. Now, here's what he said. This is a scripture that all evangelists and, yes, and pastors use. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Oh, friends, how America needs to read this and act upon it. God could spare our great nation. We're being led into destruction by a godless leader. Friends, let me tell you a little story. I don't know what you know about Muslims, but if you ever read their book, you'll find out that Muslims are not Christians. They're hate mongers. They hate the Jews. They hate anybody that doesn't fall in line with their godless teachings. Oh, my friends, and that's what we have now. Well, it said when they prayed, they were shaken. And I read in Acts 4:31, after they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Listen, we need more Spirit-filled pastors today. No, I'm not talking about talking in tongues. We need people to pray daily to be filled with God's Holy Spirit so we can do the work of the Lord. Basically, we are spineless. We're cowards. But you see, God's Holy Spirit will change your life. It's a daily thing. It's not, you know, he fills. He don't fill you once. He refills you and he fills you and he fills you. But we can't do the work of the Lord without the Holy Spirit. Now, I may think I know something about soul winning, but I'll tell you, I don't know anything. When I go out to introduce a soul to Christ, I really depend on God's Holy Spirit to do the work. He does it. All I am is a vessel. I'm the gasoline for the car. But the Holy Spirit is the one that draws hearts. He's the one that reaches down and touches people. And without the Holy Spirit, we can do absolutely nothing. Let me ask you, what are you doing about prayer for revival? Are you having a little, couple little prayers? Oh, God, send us a revival. Bang, bang, bang. Amen. Go on. You need to spend extra time in prayer. I mean extra time. In the middle of the night, God will wake you up if you're walking with him. And he'll show you that you need to pray. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the evangelists. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the lost people that God's going to bring to that revival. You need that. Have extra prayer meetings. Prayer meetings in your homes. Have a couple of you women get together and have a prayer meeting for revival. And I tell you, it is right. It is right to expect revival. Wilt thou not revive us again? See, most believe revival has taken place in the past. They believe wicked Nineveh repented. They believe the early church turned the world upside down, which they did. They believe John and Charles Wesley brought revival to England, and boy howdy, when those two brothers got together, there was revival all over England. They believe Jonathan Edwards saw revival in colonial America, and he did. What did he preach on? Mostly John 3:16. See, I don't preach hellfire. I know there's a hell, and you better believe there's a living hell, a burning hell, a place where people be tormented day and night, forever and ever. But I preach on the love of God. Now, if you reject that love, then you're going to go to hell. It's as sure as the world's round. They believe that Charles Finley and A.C. Lampier were used to bring the revival in 1857. They thrill the stories of the Welsh revival. You know, I went to a church one time in California, and I heard this evangelist talking about the great revival over there. And one time, this is a story that just touched my life. This one guy, he was a drunkard. And he, during this revival, he'd come the last night, or he'd come to the revival, and he'd get up and he'd stand up and say, "This is the last night of your revival. Your evangelist will be leaving." And sure enough, that evangelist took off and they left. That went on for years. One time, this young evangelist, just a young boy, hardly shaved, and he came to preach revival. Sure enough, the old town drunk come in there and told him, "This will be your last night of revival." And the evangelist said, "What do you mean it's the last?" He said, "Just what I said. I'm closing you down." He said, "Well, you're not closing me down. The reason you're not closing me down is because God never told me to leave yet. When God tells me to leave, I'll leave." Wow. The next night, this old drunk came back again. During their invitation, that old drunk staggered down to the altar, fell on his knees, because this young evangelist preached the love of God. What Christ came in the world to do was to die for us old dirty sinners. Now, when he left the church, a couple of guys followed him because he used to beat his wife, he used to beat his children. And when they'd hear their daddy come home, the little kids would run under the bed and the wife would hide. This particular night, they followed that old man home. Sure enough, his little kids run underneath the bed and his wife kind of hid. He come in and he gathered them all in his arms and he hugged them. He said, "Your daddy's never going to be the same. Because I met this wonderful Jesus and he changed my life." Oh, I can remember the night I gave my heart to Jesus. Well, but they do not believe God will bring revival today. Excuse me, my old throat's acting up tonight. Sometimes this is a result of a misunderstanding of the prophecy. Friends, let me tell you a beautiful story. This was in a church in Gresham, Oregon. And this man and wife, he was a drunkard. And he got saved late in life. He was well in his 70s. And he had six children, married children, who weren't saved. And they were talking about revival. And this pastor told him that we had to agonize in prayer. If you wanted God to hear your answer prayer, you had to really agonize and pray for revival. This particular morning, Sunday morning, he was getting ready to go to church. He was sitting in a chair and he was tying his shoes. And he fell over face long in the floor, dead, and he died. But he'd been praying before, during, in the prayer, in the service, "Lord, whatever it takes to bring a revival to our church, thy will be done." Did you know all six of his children were saved during that revival? The old man paid with his life. Sometimes it's an unwillingness to pay the price for revival. I recall one time I was called to a revival in Hamilton, Washington. These were all Tarhelias, all North and South Carolina people. And I went into the church that morning, and this little old 75-year-old Granny Queen came up to me. She says, "Brother Mo, did God send you here for revival?" I said, "Most assuredly." She said, "How do you know?" Well, I said, "I'll explain it to you, but I'll tell you why I know I'm supposed to be here." Old Granny Queen, the first person saved that morning was her granddaughter. Old Granny shouted. Now, I've never been in a shouting meeting, but your grandma, she just whoop, whoop, she just got so excited. I don't know how many of her family was saved. I know they were 50 saved during that two-week revival, and then Granny Queen died. She'd been praying for 12 years for a revival, but they hadn't had one. But Granny got serious. She got serious with God, and he sent a revival. Oh, but see, God is unchanged. We can have revival now. It's right to expect rejoicing to result from revival. See, revival may bring in tears, but it proceeds to joy. The Christian who has continued grieving over past sins do not understand the grace of God and needs revival. Revival and rejoicing go hand in hand. The coal mines in Wales were filled with singing. The taverns were empty and the courts without cases. Revival finds God's people focusing on Jesus and resulting in joy. Listen, how revival starts? With a few concerned people. Are you willing to let revival begin in you? Have you decided that your church sometime is going to have revival? I don't understand why they can, how they do that, but most churches have two revivals a year, every particular time. God wants to send revival to your church. He wants to send revival to your heart and soul. He wants to send revival to your pastor. Please pray for your evangelist, and do pay him when he comes. Oh, you say, "Oh, no, no, no." There's many evangelists today who are not in the long preaching revival because they couldn't support their family. The Bible said, "If I don't support my family, I'm worse than an infidel." So you need to pay your evangelists. I never charge for a revival in my life. I said, it's strictly what the church decides to do. If they want to take up a love offering, and they should. If they don't want to, they don't have to. I'll come and preach anyway. Oh, you say, "Oh boy, you must be perfect." No, I'm not perfect. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me. Do you have a kind of a tugging at your heart this morning or tonight? You might be a Christian. You sure might be, and you might have been born again a long time ago, but you haven't led a soul to Christ. You have not witnessed. You've not seen a revival in your church. I'm begging you. to say tonight, I am going to be that man, or I'm going to be that woman, that I'm going to start praying for revival, and I'm going to believe that God's going to send it. If you're lost tonight and you have it tugging at your heart, you need to come to Jesus tonight. You need to be born again. And if you feel a need for Christ tonight, here's a prayer that can change your life. It's only words if you don't repent. But if you're willing to repent and trust Jesus, I beg of you, bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful prayer. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry, Lord, for my spent life, wasted life. Oh, tonight, Lord, I want Jesus to come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. And, oh, friend, I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you want to talk to me and you can't afford to call me collect. I'll be glad to accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Dear friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, I pray that you'll take this message to heart. Oh, how America needs revival. Our country's headed down the pike. We're going to be destroyed financially and spiritually. The nation that forgets God shall surely perish. And they're trying to put God out of the churches, out of the everything in the government. Take God out of there. We don't want it. Can't even put a cross up in your house, hardly. They fight that. That's because they hate God. That's the truth. Anyway, I want you to pray that God will send a great spiritual revival into your church. If you want me to pray for your church for revival, let me know and I'll be glad to pray for you. Because I know that God can send revival.